podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Crash was frustrating for the last double that I put him in for. So prepare yourself for potentially a bit of pain if you do.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, my name's James, welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents on first of two this week, looking ahead to the doublers in double game week 37. Let me introduce you first to our Brighton correspondent, Sam Murray. How are you, Sam?
I'm all good, James. Hi everyone. Feels like it's been quite a while actually, so looking forward to this one.
Yeah, we ain't been as interesting as some previous years maybe, so we'll come on to that in a second maybe. And our Manchester City correspondent's in, it's Johnny Pringle. How are you, Johnny?
Good, thanks, James. Thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure, pal. Sam, am I right what I'm saying now? Are you under the radar? I mean, we'll talk about assets for 37, but it's almost like everyone's forgotten that Brighton's got a double.
Yeah. It's been a weird second half of the season, just in general. It feels like the season's kind of drifting away and people aren't really thinking about Brighton assets right now at all, which is fair enough. I feel like we're almost in that on the beach, not quite yet, but a lot of Brighton fans are already looking forward to the summer and looking ahead towards August. So yeah, we're slowly drifting, and yeah, right now it's just about getting the season done. Now we're coasting.
What's this season been? Success or not?
It's been a weird season. It's been a difficult season. But I mean, from a fan point of view, it's been the most amazing season. It's all about moments, especially with us. I've only ever seen us win one trophy, and that was, 12, 13 years ago in League One. So it's about the moments, and this season's been full of those games. I mean, we beat Palace 4-1. It's not even the top three this season. Marseille, Ajax, Athens, Roma, home and away, all so special. In terms of the actual club, I think it's probably not a success, because once you got the taste of Europe, you want to be up there again. Last season, we were a European team and we were two or three wins away from Champions League. We were in that conversation. We top four, top five, we were. And now it's like, I feel like mid-table's where we belong this season. We had a good start when everyone was fit and we didn't have loads of games in August. We were flying, but take that out of the equation. Yeah, we've been mid-table this year, so suppose it's not really a success.
Is European qualification out of reach, do you feel, at this stage? What, 6 points behind Newcastle in sixth?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, I think if we had everyone available and we're in form, fine, but we haven't really hit any sort of consistency this season at all. So with the fixtures we got left, I'm not really expecting us to be winning 2, 3, 4 in a row.
Also feels like there's a big mitigating in there, Sam, and you haven't reached for it yet.
What's that?
The injuries, mate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the excuse. The injuries have been crazy. I think there's a lot of explanations like for what's happened this season and a lot of reasons. I think it starts in the summer, losing McAllister and Caicedo. We knew it'd be big, and we just didn't replace them. We weren't, our team had got worse this season. We've had Europe and more games. Hasn't really affected Villa much, but I think it's just the focus has been on those games when we had them. And yeah, the injuries, March, Matoma, the massive ones. And it's a what if this season. If we had them fit and firing all year, where could we have been in all competitions?
Okay. Johnny, how are we feeling about City at the moment? We said the semi with Chelsea Saturday, went out of the Champions League to Real Madrid, and I must say, I'll say it before you do, mate, bloody unfortunate, mate. I watched both legs. Title is still in your hands, but it's squeaky. You know, you're kind of going to be playing catch up in terms of games here. How are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, good. It's been a bit of a weird few weeks, actually. We haven't been at our best this season. That sort of like title running mode hasn't sort of kicked in as of yet. But we've got a real bonus that Sunday when Arsenal and Liverpool both lost. Then going out of Champions League was, yeah, pretty gutting. Like you say, in frustrating circumstances where it felt like we were miles the better team. But again, like I say, we weren't at our sort of like ferocious best as we were last year. For all the domination we had, it didn't feel like we created as many chances as last season against them. So when you leave it open like that and down to luck against Real Madrid, yeah, it was frustrating. But no, it didn't hurt anywhere near as much now we've won it. Now got it.
Yeah,
if we'd have gone out that way in like
sick
years, I would have been like, yeah, absolutely devastated. But no, I think it showed on Saturday though that it had a big effect on the players. I think they looked tired, but I suspected Pep might have gone with a team like that.
I did. I thought he was going to mass rotate Saturday.
I thought he would.
I was really surprised when I saw the lineup,
because in all the previous seasons where we've had this sort of week of the Champions League quarterfinal and then the FA Cup semi-final, it's usually always rotated. But a sneaky part of me thought, no, he's just going to ask the players, right, he wants to play and fix it from Wednesday. Don't want to go out two cups in 4 days.
Do you think if you'd won Wednesday, it would have been different?
Yeah.
You'd have gone weaker.
That was the difference in all the other quarterfinals we'd gone through. And then he's rotated. It was only last year that we had Sheffield United that were maybe fortunate enough to go through with that draw, even with a rotated team. But this year, I think it was just, you know, let's just by hook or by crook, just beat Chelsea and make sure we stay in this cup.
I think you kind of alluded to it there, and I've spoke to it about it in the past recently as well. You don't feel as strong as last season. It almost like saying, even like in this race, doesn't feel like you've really hit the title running yet.
No.
Despite winning games. Why is that, do you think?
I think the squad's not as good as last year. I think Doku and Nunes and Kovacic aren't as good as Mahrez and Gundogan. I think De Bruyne's showing his age after his injury. I think Haaland isn't having as good a season. Just a few reasons that sort of add up, but obviously still bang up there, so can't complain too much.
How do you view this Thursday at Brighton? Is this the toughest one left, do you think, in terms of league games?
It's got to be Tottenham away for us.
Well, we might be rolling over, mate.
Hopefully.
I hope not, because I hope you've already won it. Or at least 4 points clear of Arsenal. That'll do me, mate.
Yeah, true. That's sort of how it feels. I feel like we just need Arsenal Liverpool to just drop one more result each, and just to give us that maybe a bit of a buffer going into that fixture. But that's the question, though. No, yeah, Brighton is a very tough game. I think we are in title race mode now, where it just needs to be one game at a time. I think, as Sam's alluded to, I think if players like Mitoma, March, Ferguson were fit, it might be a bit of a more fearsome prospect. But seeing Arsenal went and won there recently, I'd hope that we'll be able to go and win now on Thursday.
Sam, do you fancy chances Thursday?
No, not really. No. I think maybe if that Arsenal game had gone a bit different, but they came there and they've completely dominated, I thought. We didn't really have I never really thought we were going to get anything out of that at any point during that game. So, I mean, we've had a bit of a break now, and City have got the hangover, but City will probably make us look tired, you know what they're like. So I'm not too confident.
I saw you say after the Arsenal game that essentially they're probably the best team you played this season, because they dominated you twice.
Over two games, yeah, definitely. I mean, that away game in particular was just, compared to last season where we went there and won 3-0. Yeah, they've been the best team we played. And at the Amex, I mean, we had an all right start, and then that penalty went in, and from there it was kind of game over trying to get a goal against them.
Who do you think win it, Sam?
I've always said City, and I think City are going to win it.
Do Arsenal feel the bigger threat now, Johnny?
No, Liverpool just have that sort of like just vibe or about them, but seems to have just dropped off recently. They got a good result at the weekend. They've got some tough fixtures. Arsenal, I think, have been the best team out of three of us for a few months now. And I was really surprised they lost to Villa. But yes, I think so. But then their fixtures aren't easy either.
Do you think they deserve to win it then, based on that?
Don't know. Don't know. I think Gary Neville made a good point that like we needed to sort of like inflict that blow on us, didn't they? They've been good for like say like a good 2-3 months, but I don't know. I think whoever wins it, it's a cliche, isn't it? But whoever wins it at the end of the day is going to be the one that deserves it.
Yeah. Was you watching the two games on that Sunday when
no.
Liverpool and Arsenal both lost? You kind of believed your luck when you saw that.
Yeah, I know, because when... What was the first game? Yeah,
Liverpool was the early.
Wasn't it? Yeah, I saw that goal go in. I was watching the Manchester Marathon. And I was... Just pops up on flash scores. And then, yeah, just watching the clock tick down, I was like, oh my God, Liverpool have got beat. And then I was thinking, right, too good to be true. And then I saw... Villa had scored. I was like, oh my God, what a Sunday. Yeah, just couldn't quite believe it. I think it would have taken like just one of them drawing. Never mind them both losing.
You think you win all six, Johnny? That's left?
Not sure. I wouldn't put it past us, though.
No, of course not. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't put it past you, Arsenal and Liverpool, all to win every game left, basically, now that you've obviously not got a... play each other. How do you reflect on that Arsenal game now, the 0-0? Was it disappointment coming away from that with
yeah,
the game
it
in itself and the result? Or
yeah, it was. I would have definitely taken a point at Anfield, so I was happy with that. But then I thought we have to beat Arsenal. And I think we've gotten away with one because, like I say, that defeat to Villa sort of just doesn't makes it doesn't really matter. I think Arsenal might be kicking themselves a little bit. They probably seen it as a missed opportunity now, whereas they seemed quite happy coming away from it. But yeah, I wasn't too happy coming away from that game.
Again, I think in fairness, you almost summed it up well yourself, right? You were happy to have the draw at Anfield. I mean, I remember speaking to you this time last year, and you basically said you almost felt invincible at the Etihad. I think even before you played Real Madrid and at semi, and you just demolished them.
Yeah.
Anyone coming to your place and getting a point is going to be happy, John.
Yeah, true. But I think that's the sort of reflection of, again, how City maybe aren't as good as last year in that we didn't really seem at it against Arsenal and some of the other bigger teams that have come this year. We haven't just wiped the floor with them like we did at this stage last year.
Okay. Sam, I suggested that with 12 days to prepare for this, Mr. De Zerbi might come up with something unique. Could you foresee something surprising on Thursday night?
Maybe. I'm not sure how much he can really do right now. We don't know about like a few injuries, like Stupinian and Ciso, who was injured. I'm sure. I think he was just giving him an extra game off because he's been out for a while. But yeah, he's got to maybe try something a bit different. I'm not sure. But yeah, just throw someone like Ciso on a bit of chaos and see what happens.
We're pre-recording this on Monday evening. There have been some reports suggesting today about Liverpool and the manager. What's the fan relationship with the manager now? Is it as strong as it was this time last year?
Yeah, it is. There's a very small minority who don't really like how honest he is sometimes in his press conferences. I think he says it how it is, and sometimes some of the conversations may be better to have with Tony Bloom and Barber, but the majority of the fans would absolutely love him to stay and love De Zerbi. And I think because of what happened with Potter, everyone's a little bit almost accepting that he's going to go at some point. Which is a shame because I'd love to keep him for another season, get a full fit team and see what he can do. But you know, if someone like Bayern Munich or Liverpool puts a contract on the table, he's going to sign it and I get that. So, yeah, I'm sure Bloom and Barber have a nice short list of replacements ready already if that did happen. But yeah, I'd love it. I'd love De Zerbi to stay. Hope
yeah,
he does.
We know your club will have a plan and... They'll know, they'll have a shortlist of where they want to go. But we've spoken about this before. That's galling, isn't it? To do what you've achieved over the last couple of years and to know, and I know we're talking about super clubs here essentially, but if one of them offers for him, he'll go and sign it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still, it's worked. It has worked for us in the last few years. And I trust Tony Bloom more than anyone. I know he's got a plan, so it's all good. But it's a bit gutting when these these players as well. We've had and now managers that first opportunity is kind of they go and it's not even really doesn't really feel like it's a decision. So yeah, it's not nice, especially after last season. We're like I said, we're all sort of expecting it. It's almost the inevitability that these top players that we have and Deserby will go eventually. Yeah, don't like it, but it's the way it is for now. I think that's our position, and we can't really do too much to stop it.
It feels like over the last couple of months, there's been a few times he's made a few comments about new players and ambition that have felt kind of not in aligned with perhaps the expectations of those above him at the football club. Has that caused a little bit of separation, do you think, as well?
Maybe. I said when I was last on the podcast, he was going down the Gus Poyet route of, I need more money, look what's going on the pitch. And you know, I do get it. I do get it from his side. He had a strong team last year and he achieved our best ever finish, took us to Europe. So, you know, why can't we back him a little bit more? Because the squad has got worse compared to last season. So I do get it from his point of view. But yeah, the plan is we stick to our plan. And do we give Deserby all this money to spend and let him bring players that he wants to bring in only for him to leave next year anyway? So it's difficult. But yeah, it's the comments. It's the little comments that it's just what he's like. It's his character.
Does he have a say on signings? Do we know or not?
I think he would get a final say and he'll get an input. There was sort of the idea that when Dahoud came in, that was his signing, or he had quite a big say in that. And Ansu Fati as well. I know he apparently pushed for that signing as well. So, I mean, they're two that haven't really worked out too well. And I mean, every month we get linked to a former Sassuolo player or some Italian link. So if he can bring in some players that he wants and he's worked with, then yeah, fine. But only I think it'll only happen if it matches our style and our the way we do things.
Presumably you will spend this summer, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think we've got to, yeah. And Deserby has perked up a little bit recently. He looked a bit miserable before. I can't remember which game it was. It might have been Brentford when he's talking about money and he said he had to have a chat with Bloom. And that week it came out, obviously we had record profits. We made all this money and I think he's a bit happier after that. And maybe Bloom's said, if you stick around, we're gonna spend, because yeah, we've got the money to spend, and we never really replaced Caicedo and McAllister. They were the two. So we need some sign. It doesn't have to be an overhaul. We've got a lot up front. We've got decent options. It's just that centre midfield and maybe a fullback in there as well.
The problem is the squad's got stretched massively because of the injuries this year. But then if they're all fit, you've got a lot of choice. And it's at this moment, it looks like you probably won't have European football next season. So the numbers almost need to come down a little bit, ironically. Yeah. So what you add now has got to be quality rather than quantity. Johnny, is your boss?
Yeah, happy? Yeah. I mean,
go on, Sam. Go on.
Sorry, yeah. I was because we do have quite a big squad when you think about it. We've got players like Webster, Moda, Lallana, we've got Lamptey who can't go a month without getting an injury. So yeah, it's a case of cutting it down, but also bringing in some real quality. I'm looking forward to the summer, hopefully, as long as too many players don't leave.
No, I don't think it'd be mass exodus this time, mate. Not that it was mass exodus, just big exodus last year, if you will. Johnny, you know the questions. Is Pep still happy? Having a little whinge after the game Saturday.
Oh, well, he wasn't happy about that. And fair enough for moaning. Seen a lot of backlash for it, but it was fair comment. There was no need to put us on a Saturday when Chelsea and... none of the other three had played in Europe the week before.
You know why it happened, don't you?
You probably do. I don't.
Yeah, it was because Chelsea had to go on the Tuesday night for TNT.
That's what I thought. It'd be something stupid like that. Acknowledging it was TV companies.
It does stagger me though, by the way. I was looking, I mean, we're recording on Monday night and I note that like Milan and Roma, who played in Europa on Thursday, are both playing tonight in Italy. And I know that wouldn't, you know, Monday, Thursday, you'd have kind of reverse problem. But we don't help our clubs in Europe.
No, and that's the thing.
It's so dictated. It's not just a City problem. It's all the clubs who play in Europe just don't get helped at all.
Straight after Madrid beat us, they requested that their La Liga game get moved from the Saturday to the Friday. And they were like, yep, sound.
Yeah. It's more difficult to do that. I mean, you can't do it at short notice in this country because of the way away fans travel in particular. Yeah. But from a scheduling perspective, yeah, I quite agree. City and Chelsea should have been on the Sunday. And then Arsenal-Chelsea should have been later in the week pushed back as well. But yeah, he's got reason for complaints. But there's no sign of any change here or anything, is there? Because he does feel on the outside, Johnny, I feel like just one day he'll go, that's it. And there's no suggestion it will be now.
I don't think he'll leave us in the lurch with like leaving in the middle of his contract. He's got one more year left after this season. So I think he'll defo stay one more season. Obviously, I'd love another contract extension. Every time he does extend, you think, surely not. He's surely not another one. And there was rumours the other day that Cheeky Begiristan was thinking of leaving. I think that's been sort of like talked about for a while, that like when Pep goes, the director of football, Begiristan will sort of go, which will be a bit of a blow. It will sort of mark a bit of an end of an era. But yeah, I don't envision it happening this summer.
How do you think, just slightly off topic, but the challenge for Liverpool moving on from Klopp, it's a challenge you're eventually going to have to face as well, isn't it?
It's massive. Just like Ferguson defined United's era, Klopp's done the same with Liverpool, Pep's done the same with us. We're constantly going to be craving Pep back and this era, because we're probably never going to have it as good as we've got it right now.
Okay, let's talk a bit of FPL. Strategy first, Sam, and wildcard this week.
No, I wildcarded 31. Free hit this week at week just gone, and then I'm bench boost 37.
And Johnny, for yourself?
I'm the opposite. So I'm wildcard this week. I free hit in 29.
You're on it now.
I think Sam might have won that one.
First question. Is Haaland automatically in for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't looked at a wildcard draft, which is unlike me, but I'm
proper slacking, because out of the correspondence, you're probably the two best FPL managers we've got. Hello, Mark Summers, I haven't forgot you.
I'm banking on him for now. Yeah, I mean, if Haaland's in the double, and like I say, City haven't got any other distractions, then yeah, I think he's going to be in there.
Obviously, at time recording, we can't be certain if obviously he's going to be available for the game at Brighton. How's he playing, John?
Not particularly well. I think for like the first time in his career, he's struggling for a bit of confidence, actually, by the looks of it. So maybe he's human after all. He's not just robot.
A robot.
Yeah, I think last season he was obviously unbelievable. That was when he had like a fully functioning team. But he has struggled for service, but then he doesn't help himself. Like, I think the most noticeable thing with City fans is just when in games like against Real Madrid or against Arsenal, when we just need a bit of an out ball, he doesn't throw himself around enough. He doesn't sort of like run the channels or bully centre-backs and just simple stuff like that that you'd expect from just lesser strikers that he could easily do because like, he's 6'5". But yeah, he's still joint top scorer. It's like over 80 goals in two seasons. So I think some City fans have gone a bit far with him. But you need to realise how good he is and defend him a bit. He's just going through it.
Some genuinely getting frustrated with him.
Yeah, some of them just like drop him, get Alvarez in. Because like we talked about in the past, is like because he just has so few touches. When he doesn't score, he just might as well not be there. And then it brings up the argument about, oh, but he's occupying defenders. And you saw that on Saturday, to be fair, because Alvarez didn't particularly play well, but Haaland would occupy the defenders better.
Yeah, his presence obviously creates enough chaos for others to have space around him, which is sometimes the beneficiary of that. But it does feel like there's a certain type of defender, your Rudigers, your Gabriels, who can get really physical and tight and tough with him and like the jaw.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's starting to lose these particular kind of matchups like these ones.
Yeah. Even players like Craig Dawson for Wolves earlier in the season.
Yeah, good example.
And Brentford lads last year. Yeah, I mean, we've said it since he signed. It's best when he's facing the opposition goal, running towards it. He's not the best with his back to goal. And I think we've played all too much like that. Maybe he's missing Mahrez a bit, but I don't think he particularly linked up that well with Mahrez. De Bruyne has obviously been missing a lot of the season. They've linked up a little bit recently. I think a bit of a concerning stat is that him and Doku haven't combined for a goal yet. As good as Doku's been in some games, the fact that he hasn't been able to assist Haaland.
I didn't realise that it hadn't been a single assist for him. I've said that I think Doku's bad for him. Because I think Doku chops on that so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That Haaland stopped moving, I think, for him.
That's it. It was just so predictable. Like, when De Bruyne gets the ball, Haaland knows, right, I'm going to go because you're going to pass me. Whereas Doku, like you say, you don't particularly know. But, yeah, I think they've combined once and it was a penalty. So, like I say, technically, you don't count that.
Wow. Are you heading towards a bench boost here, Johnny? Is that part of your plan here or not?
Yeah, 37. Yeah, yeah. Wildcard 35, bench boost 37.
If you were wildcarding now and had used the bench boost and had the triple captaincy left, is that definitely going on Haaland in 37? Would that be the plan at this moment?
Probably. I mean, I'd be tempted by Cole Palmer next week.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sam, your Haaland owner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in that.
Any wavering on that?
No, probably not. He stays in there for me. And yeah, it's just a automatic pick because I'm boring. So he's in there.
Are you trying to target Chelsea Tottenham this week, Sam? Or are you skipping it?
I've got a few in there. I think I've got maybe five in total or four. But right. I wasn't too fussed. Just got a few of them, yeah. And working towards a bench boost if players don't get injured and it all comes crumbling down.
Okay. Fine. What other city you got, Sam?
I've got Edison in goal, and that's it.
Johnny, right. This time, now he's back in goal. Is Sam going to be safe at the end of the season?
Oh, God. No, you never say for me. Never save the medicine pain. Just gonna let me get my fixtures up now.
Cause... What's better, him getting left out or playing? I guess the fear for Edison owners, or probably yours, Sam, I'm going to guess would be if City did win the title, either before 37 or during 37, that Ortega could just come in, bearing in mind. But I get Ortega will play the FA Cup final, Johnny, right? I'm going to guess. Or not. He will.
Yeah.
Could you see Pep wanting to give him another game before that if the title was won?
What did he do last season?
Well, he put him in randomly for that West Ham game, didn't he?
Yeah, that was random. He played Edison. I'm thinking more things about the... Because we played Brighton last year, didn't we? After we'd won the league.
In game week 37, that's right. I'll go back, I'll check.
That Ciso's amazing goal.
Yeah, yeah. That one, yeah.
And then...
Edison in goal, was it?
Don't think so.
Nah, I'm fairly sure it wasn't.
When he played him against Brentford, and just for one last bit of pain, just as I checked, and he was on for like three saves and three bonus, he conceded in the 89th minute.
So Ortega played Chelsea and Brighton in game week 37 last year. Then Edison came in for the Brentford game in game week 38.
Yeah.
So... I mean, under the scenario that you did have the title won either at Fulham or beforehand, you got to presume that similar could happen again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do. I don't think we're going to win it before the... If we win it early, maybe we'll win it against Tottenham. I can't see a scenario where like we've won it with like two, three games to spare this year.
Yeah, but you could have a scenario, let's say, I don't know, Liverpool within... touching distance, maybe need to keep winning. The ideal solution I'm looking at here is Arsenal are out the race. And then if Liverpool don't win at Villa on the Monday night, all your lot go out on the piss on the Monday night and just forget about playing Tottenham on the Tuesday. Feels like the ideal scenario to me, mate.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is Villa getting points is no particularly good for me either, so it doesn't completely work.
Yeah.
Sam, what do you make of that? Are you just sat there just sticking with Edison? I don't suppose it's a choice, is there?
No, I think I've just got to keep him. The goalkeeper options for 37 when I done the wild card and probably still now are not great. And yeah, it's my own fault. I mean, I don't know why I keep going back to Edison. I never worked with him in fantasy football before, and I thought, well, Lewin at home, at least that would be a nice clean sheet, and he couldn't even get that for me. So yeah, I'm not expecting anything, but he'll be in there for me.
If people do want to go there now, Johnny, seriously, there'll be lots contemplating it. What's your advice?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Because it's just the same as normal. Like, I would suggest Vardy, but now that Ake's fit again, and again, like, with no Champions League to rotate, you just don't know who's going to play. Diaz has all of a sudden become, like, not nailed. Most nailed defenders, probably Akanji. But again, he just doesn't offer that much attacking threat at all. So you just land back on Edison, ready for him to concede in the last 10 minutes of every game.
I come back to them City defenders in the second, Johnny, because Sam will ask you about Verbruggen. Have we got to a point here where he's number one, do you think?
Yes, yeah, I think he is number one. We said at the beginning of the season that, you know, if everything goes to plan by May, Verbruggen will be our number one, and that's happened now. The rotation didn't really work out too well. Maybe the switch should have been made sooner, but that's hindsight. I think now he is our best goalkeeper and he is our number one. But then again, you know, we've got nothing to play for in the last two or three. It would make more sense to let Verbruggen have a proper run in the team, looking ahead to next season. I can't imagine we'll be playing still next season. So yeah, it would make sense to give Verbruggen the rest of the season now, but we know what De Zerbi's like. He might throw steel in game week 38 or something.
Because of what you said about goalkeepers, you've obviously got the Pope, the Dubravka problem, which at time of recording we don't know, the Petrovic Sanchez problem at Chelsea, which kind of just leaves Vicario and Onana from two teams who basically can't defend. Not that yours especially can all the time, Sam, because you give up plenty of chances yourself. He's now started every league game for Bruggen since you went out of Europe. This finally feels like a consistent run. Same question that I'd asked Johnny, but to you, if people were asking about for Bruggen at this stage.
Yes. Yeah, I don't mind it. You could just be prepared. You can never say he's 100% nailed, as I said, especially if we've got nothing to play for. But I think he is number one, and it makes sense to give him the rest of the season. He's been really good recently as well. He's had one or two shaky moments, but he looks quite confident in goal, good with his feet, and he's played some really good games. So I'm hoping he gets a run, and yeah, I don't mind it.
Johnny,
but if you're going to go for, we're looking into defence as well. You've got Van Hek in defence, so it's kind of the same. You've got Verbruggen or Van Hek, but Van Hek is pretty, you know, he's nailed. So if you're choosing between those two, you go for the defender.
Yeah, I'll probably agree with that. Again, we'll come back onto them. Johnny, these defenders then. So you're saying, if are you going to go with one? That's probably a better way of asking it. Because you're on wild card.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I need to just have a play around. I should have prepared, shouldn't I, really?
You're good, mate. You must have an instinct, though, in your head. But let's ask a different question. What are you thinking in your head about three City assets at this point? Haaland being one.
Yeah.
Is Foden make it two?
I think so. I've seen, it's him or a second Spurs. But no, maybe I would have avoided Foden if, again, we'd gone through in the Champions League, but just because it's, and he seems to have absolutely nailed his spot now. Such what?
Hasn't he started, like, has he got most minutes this season, I think? Foden.
Him or Rodri, he started like a freakish amount of games. But yeah, I can see him starting every game until the end of the season. So I'd probably pick Foden. And then, yeah, it just depends whether it comes down to Edison or a defender. I think if Ake's injury was a bit longer, Vardy would be the man to go for. He might still be, but I can see Ake playing a few. Like I say, Akanji. Like, I think I said it earlier in the season, but he just manages to find a way into the team. You just always think he's just going to be dropped for someone, but he's been brilliant, to be fair, Akanji. Probably our best defender this year. And he's just so versatile. He can play that centre-back role that we all thought Diaz was nailed for. He can do the John Stones role where he steps into midfield, plays right back. He can even play left back in an emergency. So if there's a defender to go for, it might be him. But like I say, he's just not that exciting a pick.
When Akanji steps into midfield, it doesn't feel as comfortable as when John Stones does it, though.
No, it's not. He's not as good there.
But they've done it together recently where Stones has sat and Akanji's gone. Does that frustrate you massively when you watch that?
It was only on Saturday, that, to be fair. I think it was maybe just to preserve Stones's
Yeah, maybe.
injury status.
It might have been a planned 45 minutes, in fairness, Mark. I'm going to guess,
I
maybe.
think he was sick. I think I saw him
Oh,
throw
really?
stuff. Yeah, I think they just took him off. He was ill.
Okay. So, I mean, is Akanji a go then? At 5.0, it feels like the second dullest one you can pick, I suppose, after Kyle Walker.
Yeah, maybe. Like I say, he just rarely scores, rarely gets assists. So I'd love to pick Vardy. I think Vardy was a good pick for people who wildcarded in at 31. I was laughing again, like I said, when we conceded against Luton, though, because like I said, I didn't have any City defenders. But then he go pops up with a goal and an assist. So I was like, oh my God.
Do you know who the highest scoring City defender in FPL is?
Okay.
He's one short of Walker.
Walker's the highest.
Yeah, by one
I
point.
bet they're like, I bet none of them are anywhere near the top, though.
Do you want to have a guess how many points Walker's got?
Like 90.
84.
That's a decent guess.
I mean, it's just shy of 2 points per game week, basically, and he's not playing every minute here and stuff. But I
Yeah.
mean, Kyle Walker is City's highest scoring defender. These are the names immediately above him for points in FPL this year: Konsa, Byrne, Doughty, Dalot, Romero, Braithwaite, Mitchell, Castagne, Tarkowski, Robinson, Mikalenko.
That's a sad list to be below, isn't
A little bit, really, yeah. So it does almost, but I get the problem, right? Because we've been over this several times. It's like no one wants any defenders from the teams who've got a double in 37. So
Yeah.
naturally, you are drawn to think, well, if I can get the right City one, a little bit like the Vardy owners who had the haul against Luton, you think, well, if I can get that makes it worthwhile. Walker, I presume, I would have thought, Johnny, would be the safest here from a minutes perspective, no?
I don't know because Akanji seems to play that role better when like Stone steps into the field. Walker's obviously so good against out and out wingers, so yeah, maybe he'll play him. Yeah, Walker probably, I can imagine Walker will play against Spurs because you've obviously got Werner, Son.
Fulham have got the likes of Iwobi, maybe.
Yeah.
So it
I
could
think
be.
it could happen.
Sam, City defenders in mind, or are you like, I've got enough pain here with Edison? Are you joking, James?
I think Edison's enough for me. Might get Foden before 37. That'll be my triple up. Yeah, but I'm all in on Edison.
So Van Heek, talk to us. It's like 4.1. Any reason to think he's not just going to play all the games left?
No, I don't think so. I think he's nailed now. Like he is the only option really defensively. And if Pascal didn't exist, he'd be my player of the season. I think he's been brilliant. We said in the summer it'd be a big season because obviously Colwill went back to Chelsea and we had sort of Igor, Webster, Van Heek all kind of in that second centre back and we didn't really know who's gonna stand out there and be the second choice centre back. But it's him. He stepped up and he's been really good all season. For the double, like, I'm not expecting much, but it's a classic double game week. It's cheap and cheerful. I stick him on the bench every other week and he can bench booster in 37. And yeah, I'm not expecting a clean sheet there, but he should be all right.
Is that the one you'd advise for those wildcarding now and win a bench boost? Is that the obvious play? Just bench him in the other games. He's part of your bench boost in 37.
Yeah. I mean, if there's better defenders out there, then I can't see Van Heek getting too many points. So go elsewhere. But if you're going for Brighton, then yeah, we don't really have any other options. We've got Estupiñán who's in and out, and he's injured now as well. So Wouldn't go there, and I wouldn't pay the extra for Dunk. So yeah, I think Van Heck's the
Okay.
one.
That was going to be next question, because Lewis Dunk, he's an absolute, isn't he? Surely, particularly with Euros coming up, you would think as well. He's probably going to be borderline whether he's going to be part of that squad or not. That feels like if you can afford to pay the 1.1 more, pay it, no? It's a bigger set piece threat as well.
1.1 million. Oh yeah. Nah, it's quite a
But if
jump, I
you've
think.
got it, like I've looked at a wildcard team this week that's sitting there maybe with 2 million in the bank, Sam. If others are thinking that, then
If you've got it, then yeah, fine. And if you're free hitting in 37 and you've got the spare, and if you want to upgrade a Van Hecht, then yeah, fine. But I don't see the, I don't think there's too much between them.
what's the story with Purvis?
I don't know. He hasn't been the same since he came back from injury. He hasn't been very good this season. He started off so well as well. I think all the way back in August. It's a while ago, but he was in everyone's teams at game week one, game week two, when he's 50-60%. Yeah, got that injury, and since then he's just not been anywhere near his best. I think having Mitoma down that side would have helped him out big time. But yeah, he's been in and out. He's been little injuries. I think he could do with a summer off. Although I'm not sure if he's got internationals. He might have had internationals. Oh, that's annoying. Yeah, he could do with a bit of a break and reset for next year. Turn him off, turn him back on again, and hopefully we get the old Purvis back.
Are you looking to invest in Brighton at all, Sam?
So yeah, I've got Van Heek right now on my bench, and I could be going for João Pedro as the third forward, but I'm not sure. I think Isak and Haaland the obvious, and then you've got the third spot, which is Højlund, Jackson, and if you want to, I haven't got much money, so maybe a Pedro, but yeah, I'm not sure. We kind of come full circle with Pedro again as well. Didn't do too great for me earlier on in the season, but we get 120 minutes in a double, maybe.
But off the left at the moment, I'm guessing.
Yeah, off the left, might have Cissé out there, or Ansu Fati doesn't seem to be playing too much. I think it's with Pedro. It's just, yeah, put him in wherever he can play behind the striker and be the number nine, or on the left like he has been recently. Yeah, he's our main forward. So just play him wherever.
I think you'll be particularly popular perhaps when people get closer to 37 and then look at, they've got, say, your Matetas, your Woods, your Menezes, and realise they can't get up to maybe what they want. And the choice at that point basically becomes João Pedro or don't bother.
Yeah,
there's going to be
yeah.
a cluster of people who want to make that move. Could you give them any reason not to?
We haven't looked great going forward, but he's the main man and he's on penalty, so I don't mind it for the price. Again, with me, I'm going to get to that point, and if I have the money, or if I want to downgrade a Salah or Saka, then I would be going for probably Jackson by that point. But yeah,
I'm hoping Jackson is so bad in 35 that people just can't wait to bomb him out.
That's a good plan. But yeah, Pedro for the price, he's the obvious one there, isn't he? At that price, yeah. Like I said, when people get closer to that game week, they might be looking at Pedro, and you never know with a double. You might, you roll the dice, and if you get a goal or a penalty or something, and suddenly you're looking at some big, big differential points. So yeah, it's not bad.
It's worth saying as well that for the wild carders, that it feels like there's kind of a Haaland, Isak, Jackson seems to be the template three that everyone's looking at. But obviously, Jackson's got to avoid a booking at the Emirates on Tuesday night, and that could really change the game. And then suddenly people are going to be going, Werner? Or Højlund, or João Pedro, basically. That's basically going to be the sort of choice people are left with. Or going, oh, sod it, I'll go Alvarez. So then I think under that circumstance, Sam, João Pedro comes onto the table there. And a lot of people are going to find as well that they're going, oh, I don't know what to bench this week. João Pedro will feel like an easier one from the offensive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a classic end of season. You've got doubles, you've got a bench boost, and he's a cheap striker, and you just... He's on your bench, and you hope he does something when it matters. So yeah, it's not a bad option. I might end up there myself. We'll see.
Johnny, I mentioned Alvarez there. Is that just an avoid? Is it at the moment? Unless Haaland was injured, I guess.
Yeah, and that's yeah. If imagine that Haaland's out for the season, back Alvarez straight in.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think an avoid vote. He's not been playing that well, Alvarez, recently. So yeah, I think he's just an avoid.
KDB.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no. And like I say, going out of the Champions League, he should play in most games, but Christ, just frustrating for the last double that I put him in for. So prepare yourself for potentially a bit of pain if you do.
The spacing will help him though, won't it? The lack of the Champions League football now makes this period... I think you'd have looked at Wolves at home 36 and you'd have gone, there's no way KDB's playing that with Champions League semi-final either side. Now you look at it and think, yeah, he could play all the games. He was the one I was most shocked at Saturday, that he played the 110 minutes and yeah. started Saturday. I couldn't believe it, actually.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it either. And then he lasted until near the end.
So it shows that he could play both in the double further on. That's a gamble.
Yeah, it is.
I think. Could you make a case to pick him over Foden?
Well, probably not really. I think we had this discussion last time, didn't yeah. we? I think, like I said, I don't mind it. Like I said, I don't mind. It's tempting, isn't it, Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland to just go all in. But like I said, I can just see KDB's minutes being managed. I can imagine him getting dropped in one or two.
Okay. Doku Grealish, just ignore, is it?
Yeah, again, you probably just don't know who's gonna play.
Okay. We talked, Sam, about minutes players coming into doubles. I've used Bruno Fernandes as a good reference. You're like, I know he'll get like near 180 minutes. That's perfect for the double. You've got a very consistent boy there in Pascal Gross, who'll be the same near enough, you imagine. He's not going to get looked at by many, is he? Again. And he'll probably do well, won't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's decent if you want to be a bit different. We know what Gross is all about. I don't have to sell it to anyone. We know what we're going to get with Pascal. He's involved in everything. I think, yeah, the difference is there's midfield options available who are better than him. You've got Foden, Gordon, Palmer, Garnacho, and adding on to the, obviously, Son, Bruno. So there's so many options in there. I don't even think he'll be considered. So yeah, he's consistent. He'll be involved.
Yeah, I mean, you could quite easily just go, Palmer's son's going to be in the majority this way. Anthony Gordon's going to be popular. I mentioned Bruno Fernandes, Phil Foden, that's it, you're done. And again, Sam, we come full circle and we've just ignored Brighton. To close, is that the right thing to do here for people?
Yeah, it's not much that stands out right now, and I don't really have too much confidence in us going forward in general, but it's fine. It's fine to ignore us, really. Again, you got Pedro, and then you got Adingra and Gross, and the conversation is the same thing. Where do you even get him into your team? So, it's fair enough. One of them will get a good double digit haul, I think, in the doubles, but I don't know which one.
It'll probably be Gross, mate. And we'll probably all overlook it as we've done many times. Gents, thank you both so much. Let's do predictions for the game Thursday before we finish, Sam.
I'm going to go for 2-1 Manchester City.
Johnny?
Yeah, I was going to say 2-1 City as well.
It's full house. That's what I had on the predictions, so no need for me to change it. One final question for you, though, Johnny. If you had to bench one of Foden or Haaland this week, away to Nottingham Forest, is it can't bench Haaland?
Yeah, I'd bench Foden.
Okay.
But good stuff. I did that against Brentford away, and that went so famously well.
I didn't. I've had loads of good hat tricks on Monday nights this season, actually. Some of them, like Cole Palmer, completely irrelevant. Sam, anything you want to plug before we finish?
My Twitter, FPL Seagull or X.
Twitter's fine, mate. Cheers, buddy.
Twitter's fine, yeah.
And Johnny?
Yep, same at FPL Pringle.
Good stuff. Thank you both so much. Best of luck for the rest of the season. And Sam, it's not personal, but I do hope City win on Thursday. I hope you understand that, mate. Be kind and have your belly tickled, roll over, all that jazz would be really appreciated. Wednesday, Sky Fantasy Football Podcast. Suj will be with me for that. And COTC Thursday, as already mentioned, Chelsea versus Tottenham with Gary Mantle and Ricky Saunders. Just sees me to say thanks so much to Sam and Johnny. Cheers, gents, and good luck. Cue music, please. Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.